Well, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And then we're going to be in Psalms 46. So we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and then Psalms 46 are our verses for today. And so today what I want to talk to you about is a new year, a new thought. And I want to start with this thought is this, starting with His presence. Starting with His presence. Now, a lot of times we'll start the new year and we think, okay, I got to have this plan. I got to get everything together. But today I'm not going to lay out, we're not going to start a new sermon series. I'm not going to give you the vision for this whole year for where the church is going and things we want to do in ministries. I want to talk about two things. I'm going to talk about you and I want to talk about Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about today, is you and Jesus. And what does it mean to start with His presence? Starting with His presence. What does that mean? And a lot of times in our human condition, we like to make a plan and we like to get ahead of ourselves. How many of you have been there? And we get so far ahead, God's like, hold on, little buddy, hold on, come on back here for a minute. Let me show you the way here. Let me show you a better way. And so I want to start, before we get into a big master plan for 2023, if a lot of you are like me, you start, 23, this is going to be the best year ever. And you start making all these plans, but you haven't spent time with you and Jesus. You start making plans and things, and things go haywire. So that's where I want to start with. I want to start with this. Does the end of the year ever feel like a complete whirlwind to you? And today I want to talk to you, it can be interactive, it can be it's not so much a message, but just a challenge to us. But sometimes the end of the year, it feels like a whirlwind. Have you ever been there? You feel like you end Christmas, you have Christmas and all the holiday stuff, and then it's like, whew, January's here. It's a new year. It's a new day. The new year comes, and you're like, okay, what is this new year going to bring in my life? But it feels like we get there, we get to this point today, January 1st, 2023, and some of you just feel like, whew, I just need to take a breath. Or maybe some of you feel like you're out of breath, like I'm just running and running and running. In January, most people, whether you're a leader, a parent, or mom or dad, a boss or employee, you feel the weight of vision casting. You feel the weight of, okay, goal setting. You feel the weight of, okay, where do we want to go this year? In our finances, in our health, in our relationships, in our jobs, whatever your family, whatever it is, we have this weight that comes in January to us. But too often our planning and this weight of, okay, what is the goal, the vision for the next year, comes from a few things. It comes from expectations from others, a board, a boss, a spouse, people we serve. There's a weight of that. Secondly, there's an internal pressure to create greater momentum, the shoulds of everything that feels important. You know, this should be important. This should be important. This should be what I should focus on. All those shoulds just keep building, 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 building. And that's more pressure. But planning and preparing for a new year or a new path that God wants you to go on doesn't necessarily have to feel this way. How many of you say, I've been there in January, I felt the pressure to have greater momentum, greater sales, greater budgeting, greater, income earning, whatever it is in your life, you felt that pressure. But today, it doesn't have to be that way. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes here, and we're going to read it here. Verse 1 will be on your screen, but turn to me, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Today, we're in a season of change. Today, we're crossing over from 2022 into 2023. We're crossing over into a new season. So let's read here what Ecclesiastes says. Verse 1, it says, for everything there is a season and a time, for every matter, under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Many of you have read this many times over and over. Sometimes Ecclesiastes gets a bad rap. Sometimes this passage gets a bad rap, like it's just kind of gloom and doom. It sounds like someone that's just kind of a downer, like, ugh. But truly, there's a season for everything. Many of you know this. There's a season for that. And as we're crossing into this new season, I want to ask yourselves, what is this time in your life for right now? This new season, January 1st, 2023, what is this season? What is the time for in your life? Is it time for more business, more I'm going to make this, I'm going to take all this pressures and I'm going to do something about it? Or is this a time for you and Jesus? Is this a time for you and Jesus? Now, this isn't new, of course. Amber, you've already said it right. We're supposed to be spending time with Jesus. But I want to challenge us today in this new year to start with his presence first. Before you make any plans, and I know some of you, you're go-getters, I want to ask you right now, take all your plans right now and set them aside. And you think, whoa, Pastor Dan, wait a minute. I'm doing this with the church, and this is why today I'm not coming to you, or even next week, I'm not going to come to you and say, here's where we're going for the new year. Here's all the plans. Here's all the things we're going to do as a church. I'm taking those myself, personally and as leading this congregation. We're going to put those aside, and we're going to say, first, God, I want to spend time with you and myself, and what do you want to say? I'm going to start with your presence first, and what do you want to do? This is a time to listen. In 2022, God did some amazing things in your life. For many of you in this room, I know that God has worked in your life and done amazing things, brought you through some hard things. But that's got to be let go. This is a new season. This is a time for newness, a time to adjust to the Holy Spirit and his direction in your life. So my question is, what does God want to do new in your life in 2023? What does he want to do new this year? What does he want to do new? But to get to that new thing, are you willing to set aside your preconceived plans, all the shoulds, all the things you think are important, all the things you're feeling the pressure on? Are you willing to take all that and set it aside and say, okay, Jesus, what do you want to do this year? So here's the challenge I want to challenge to us. For the start of 2023 is this. I want the challenges alone with Jesus. Alone with Jesus for a day, for a half a day, an hour, 30 minutes, or 15 minutes without any distractions. This is the challenge I want to set before you and I'm setting before myself. Is starting 2023 is alone with Jesus. If you look out in the world right now, if you've been watching the commercials online or if you're on YouTube watching commercials, everything's like, get ready for 2023, start preparing, it's tax season, it's the new year, get the new job, get the new car, get the new rebate before it goes out. There's all this planning and preparations and you've got to do this and this. But I want to encourage you, can you, as sons and daughters of the King, can you set all that aside? I want to challenge you, start off today. Today's the first day of the new year. Can you spend a time just alone with Jesus? Now, many of you think, well, Pastor Dan, I'm an extrovert. I am one too. And being quiet and still and by myself for more than a half an hour, boy, I get antsy. I mean, it's like, it's like when you don't have that, you don't get your favorite drink for a while, that caffeine, you just start getting all the jitteries and the shakies, and you're like, I need a Coke fix, all right? All right. But I want to challenge you. It's not about your personality. It's about you and Jesus today. And will you be alone with Jesus? There's nowhere in Scripture that says you got to do it for a day, half an hour. This is just a challenge. Just whatever it is, spend alone time with Jesus. In Luke 4, in Luke 5, in Luke 6, Luke 9, Jesus spent a lot of alone time. In Luke 4, Jesus spent time alone by himself before his ministry started. He spent the 40 days in the desert praying and fasting. Before he went into his ministry. Now, of course, we could say, well, Pastor Dan, why did Jesus do that? Isn't he, omniscient, all-knowing? Didn't he know what he was going to do? Well, yes. But even Jesus wanted to model for us time with the Father, time to prepare, a time to say, hey, Lord, your will be done, not my own will, not my plans, not my calendar, not my Google Outlook calendar this year. God, you take my calendar, you take my time, my resources, and guide us. Jesus spent time before he started ministry. In Luke 5:16, it says Jesus withdrew to desolate places to pray. Now, we see that as a negative sometimes. Oh, it was by himself. But it wasn't a negative to Jesus. It was a recharge and reprioritizing where, God, do you want to go? What is your priority? What is your plan? What's your calendar look like? In Luke 6:12-16, Jesus spent a night of prayer on the mountain before picking the 12 apostles. How many of us, luckily spend a minute before we do something drastic? We change jobs, we ask that person to marry us, or you name it. We spend like really a minute time. But Jesus spent a whole night of prayer on the mountain before he picked the 12 apostles. Once again, he's modeling us something, alone time with the Father before we make plans. In Luke 9, Jesus was praying alone. In Luke 9:18, he was praying alone. He was preparing for the next part of his ministry. The next day's agenda, he was preparing. In Luke 9:28-32, Jesus went on the mountain again, praying before the transfiguration and before he sent out the disciples to go out and do things in his name. Jesus spent time alone with the Father before he put his plans to action, before he put them on paper, before he put them in his calendar. He spent time alone with God the Father and prayed. Now, this isn't new. If you've been in church your whole life or you read Scripture, you know this isn't new. This is not new teaching. It's just that sometimes we, myself, we fail to do this. We get amped up, right? Christmas was great. Christmas was a great December. Oh, it was awesome. We planned for that. And then we just kind of, we got to get into the next year. We're going to ram through a plan, and we haven't spent time with God the Father and say, God, what's your plans for my life? What's your plans for my vocation, my retirement? What's your plans for my physical health, my emotional health? God, what do you want to do with the gifts you've given me? Where do you want to deploy those at? In 1921, a Norwegian diplomat, Nobel Prize winner, Christian Louis Lange, he said this. This was in his 1921 acceptance speech for the Nobel Peace Prize. He said, technology is a useful servant, but a dangerous master. 1921. What was the new technology in 1921 around this era? Did anybody know? The car was new. Radio was just beginning to really take off. These two things, the car and the radio were the bigger things that were coming into the scene. And he's saying this in 1921. Technology is a useful servant but dangerous master. I want to encourage us today to spend time with Jesus and don't let things get in your way. This is a reminder from the past, from this speech, that, you know, technology is great. All of us have, probably some of you are even using your iPhones right now or your Androids for your Bible. Technology is good, but church, Jesus wants to spend time with you today. And you're not going to know where your life needs to go if you're not spending time without the distractions. Now, phones are good and distractions. Kids are good. Spouses are good. But you need to get alone with Jesus. You and Jesus alone. And that's the challenge. And it's hard. I'm going to be truthful. It's hard. I'm a high input sensory kind of guy. I mean, I like the input. It's hard to turn off all the sensory inputs and to sit and to be still. But are you in a hurry? In 1985, hurry sickness was written about in a book. It was a book called it's called Type A Behavior in Your Heart. And they coined this phrase hurry sickness. I don't know if any of you have heard about hurry sickness. It's not technically a medical clinical diagnosis, but it's just when you get in such a hurry and you get so much input that you became anxious and overwhelmed. Any of you been there? You ever been in such a hurry with life that you almost get sick? You know, you just don't feel well, you're tired, you're cranky and you're irritable, you're not kind, you know, and you ever get there? God wants us to slow down, to be still and to know him. This hurry sickness is defined as this by Psychology Today, excuse me. They define hurry sickness as a behavioral pattern categorized by the continual rushing and anxiousness, an overwhelming and continuing sense of urgency, a malaise in which a person feels chronically short of time and so tends to perform every task faster and faster, and they get frustrated when encountering any kind of delay. Has that ever been you in your life? Has it ever been you in your walk with Jesus? Come on, Jesus, we got to get on this. Why are you not faster in my life? Let's go. I got things to do. I got things to do in your name. Come on, Jesus, get on the ball. Let's go. If we're all honest with ourselves, we've been there. I've done that. God, why aren't you doing this fast enough in my life? We try to hurry. Come on, God, we got all the technology in the world. Come on, we should be able to amplify what's going on in our lives. Get things done. But we end up with a continual rush, and what do? We squeeze out time to slow down, to know that God is real in our life, to be still and know that I am God. And so going into this first day of the new year, I want to challenge you and Jesus, alone time with him, starting your day, starting with his presence alone. And today, I don't have any plans to give you. I do have a few pointers, but today, I'm not going to give you, here's a calendar, here's when we're going to do this as a church. This is between you and the Holy Spirit, about spending time with God the Father. I want to give you two resources to help with this, to slow down, to spend time with Jesus in yourself. This first is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This is by one of our Summons of God pastors. His name is Peter Scarzero. He's a gentleman. I think he's a little over 60, but I've been an AG Summons of God pastor for many, many years. He wrote this book, and it's a bestseller, and I want to highly encourage you to get this book. And the tagline is this. It says, it's impossible to be spiritually mature when you're remaining emotionally immature. And in this book, Peter talks about slowing down, spending time with yourself and with Jesus alone. He talks a lot about that and knowing yourself. And then secondly is this, it's The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I would encourage you to get these two books. If you want these two books and can't afford it, please come see me. We will get these books for you. But I really encourage you to spend some time knowing yourself, to slow down. Don't plan everything out. Slow down. Know yourself. Know how God's created you. And spend time with Jesus. But here's what I have to do. Just four simple takeaways. I want to encourage you with when you're listening to God in your day alone. Whether you do a full day, a half day, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is, how can you get the most out of this? Just four simple things. First is Scripture. First is Scripture. Those books are great, but those books are auxiliary reading. Take the Word of God alone. And I would encourage you, take it. Take the real tangible paper. Don't take your phone, because you know what happens. You're going to get that text message. You're going to get that update, that email. Take the Word by itself. Read Scripture. Read a whole book, a letter. Read a whole chapter. Read a parable. Read one verse and read it again and again. You find that. Read that. But start with Scripture. Get alone with God and take your Bibles with you. Secondly is this, silence and stillness. Silence and stillness. Turn with me over to Psalms 46. It's not going to be on your screen. Turn me to Psalms 46. And we're going to read it here. Psalms 46. It's not long. It's only 11 verses. Psalms 46. Let everybody get there. I want to say this. We cannot mature without the stillness and silence of being in the presence of God. Some of us want to run, 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 but you're not going to mature until you slow down and sit with Jesus. Look at Psalms 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations raged. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow that shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In this psalm here, we have this imagery of chaos. We have nations and economies and war and everything going on. And God's voice breaks all that. He silenced all that. And above all the noise, can we say right now in America there's a lot of noise? There's violence. There's sickness. There's political unrest, economic unrest. There's everything going on. But of all the noise, God wants to speak to you. When you spend alone time with him, he says, be still and know that I am God, that I'm over all this. I make war stop. I conquer nations. I will be exalted. Look at verse 10 again. Let's read it again. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What's the psalmist writing here? He's saying, no matter what's going on in our life, no whatever is the chaos and the hurriness, the sickness, the thing, I've got to produce more and more. I've got to do more and more. I've got to do all these things. Whether you're a husband, a wife, a business owner, I've got to put all this on them. I mean, God's saying, I'm going to calm. I'm going to level all that stuff in your life. And you're going to know that I am God, that I'm your source, I'm your peace, and that I'm enough to be still and know that I am God. Let distractions, whether they're inner noise or outer noise, go down the river. Go down the river. Let the distractions go. Silence with Jesus is purposeful. It's really hard sometimes to think that intentional silence is purposeful. It's hard for me. I've always struggled with that my whole walk with Jesus, to be quiet and think, well, if I'm silent, I feel like I'm just not doing enough. You ever been there? I have a poster in my office by Teddy Roosevelt, one of his speech where he says, get action. He says, be sane. Don't fritter away your time, but do something. Get up. And I love that part. There's a great part of the disciples of Jesus. We're supposed to be about the Father's business, right? We shouldn't be lazy Christians sitting on a pew. We should be about the Father's business. But there's also the intentional stillness and quieting and stopping and saying, Jesus, I push everything aside. What do you want to do today? What do you want to speak? I'm going to be still and know that you're God in my life. So the second thing is stillness and silence. The third thing is this. In your journal and or times of reflection, and in your day when you're listening to God alone, take some time to journal or spend time in reflection. Some of you like to write. Some of you like to write down things. That's okay. Do that. Some of you like just to sit and think. Think with your thoughts. To think about situations or ask, hey, God, just speak to me. and meditate on his word and just meditate with your thoughts. You can do whatever, but take time in your day alone to either write or take time to reflect. Don't just read scripture, be still, and then get going. Take time to meditate, reflect on what God is speaking to you. Write down what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Write it down and keep it. The Holy Spirit in John 14, one of his roles is to bring the thoughts of God to our minds. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring the thoughts of God to your mind. Well, I call those the God thoughts. God thoughts. You ever had those? You're still and something pops in your mind. You know, that's not me. What was that? That's the Holy Spirit taking the thoughts of God, reminding you of what God has said in his word or what he wants to speak to you about a situation, right? Not everything we deal with is in scripture in the sense of, does God tell me today what to pick out, what to wear? Or is God going to tell me, is it in God's word to tell me to take this job? Well, no. How do you know how to do that? It's by listening, being still, listening for the voice of the Spirit in your life. And then lastly, the last thing is this, applying it. And when you're in your day alone and you're listening to God, here's the last thing you need. You need to apply it. You need to listen. You need to read scripture. Spend some time in stillness and silence. Reflect, journal, write out what you feel, what you're feeling in your heart and mind. But then lastly, we have to apply it, right? How many of you are parents, you know, your child listened to you. They were still, but they didn't do what you asked still, right? Just like us, as we're sons and daughters of the King. But God wants us to apply what he's teaching us, what he's learning. There's two things. It's this: personal priorities for growing in Jesus and leadership priorities that need adjusting. Pastor Peter, he talks about these last two things here. In this new year, I was listening, he talked about what are your personal priorities for growing in Jesus? And then what are your leadership priorities that need adjusting when you're applying what you heard God speak to you? Where does God want you to grow and mature in? And your personal priorities for growing, where does he want you to mature this year? Where does he want you to grow? Where does God want to break your will or break the immature in your life and grow you? Now, that doesn't sound like fun, right? We've all been disciplined by our earthly mothers and fathers. Not always fun, but we know, as Scripture says, when they do, what happens? We've gained. We've gained from that. God's not mad. He doesn't hate you, but he does want to grow you, mature you. And he wants to teach you things in your own life. So start there. In the ancient days, there was something called sealed orders. When a captain of a ship was given assignment, or sometimes, and they do this in the military, there was a sealed order. It was given by the governor or the commanding officer. It was a sealed roll wrapped up, and there was a seal, a wax seal on it, and it was given to the captain of the ship or the commander centurion before an army maneuver or something was going to happen. That sealed order was the direct specified order for that sea captain or that military officer. That was their sealed orders of what they were supposed to accomplish. And so when you're spending time alone with Jesus, I want to encourage you, I think God's going to speak to you about your sealed orders. What does God want to do in your life this year, in your life? Where does he want to grow you? And that's for you alone. Not for you to take and say, hey, you got to do what I do, or hey, this is for you. No, this is a sealed order for you alone and what God wants to do in your life. And I'm going to encourage you, when you spend time alone with God, say, God, what are my orders for this year? I lay aside my calendar. I lay aside my plans and all the things that may be good things. But God, what do you want to do in my life this year? And then secondly, leadership priorities that need adjusting. What is God asking you to adjust this year in how you lead others? What is God asking for you to adjust in your leadership and how you lead others? In leading your family, leading your business, leading, maybe you run a nonprofit, maybe you have a bunch of employees, or whatever you find yourself leading in, what is God asking you to change or to adjust your leadership priorities in this year? Take what he's speaking to you and apply that to those two areas, your personal life and your leadership, because those are the two things we really get a chance to be a witness to the world in and how the world sees us. And so with that, that's my challenge for you today is this, is to spend alone time with Jesus in this new year. This is not new teaching. Many of you in this room, I'm looking at, you know this, but do we apply this? Have we really intentionally spent time in silence before God to read scripture, silence and stillness, reflect, and then apply it, what he wants to do? I would encourage you, a lot of you, the temptation as soon as we leave today and tomorrow hits Monday morning, the work week, is I'm going to make my plan. I'm going to make my goals. I'm going to set my business goals, my family goals, you name the goals. And we'll get ahead of ourselves. But I would encourage you today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, next Saturday, slow down. Set aside all your plans. But you may think, well, Pastor Dan, if I don't do it this week, then what's going to happen the rest of the year? You're going to be okay. Big breath. It's okay. You're all right. You're not going to get ahead of God. Trust us, right? We're not going to get ahead of God. You haven't deterred God from his ultimate plan. But I want to encourage you, the world right now, I was out in Staples this last week in some stores. I mean, everything is, you know, productivity, plan, productivity. Get ahead of the game. Get ahead of the tax season. Get ahead of everything. Church, I want to encourage you as the sons and daughters of the King, take a breath, push that aside. Take time with you and Jesus this week. Maybe the first 2 weeks of this year, the first month of this year. And say, Jesus, what are my sealed orders? Jesus, what do you want to do in my life this year? Where do you want to go this year? And as your pastor and leading this church, that's what I'm doing. A lot of you know me. I like to have a plan. We come in, we have a plan. But church, I've not made any plans yet for this year. I've got two things. I've got too many plans. I'm saying, hey, God, can we play with this one? Can we kind of toy with these kind of things I like to see happen? But I feel my own spirit. I'm taking that God said, no, you need to put everything, take everything, little buddy. Put it over here. And why don't you pray and seek me first for what is for Crosspoint? What's for Sioux City? There's a lot of things, church, that are going great. What's going on here at Crosspoint and in the churches of Sioux City? There's a lot of good things. Revive School, the churches are working together. There's a lot of great things we're doing. OCC, community, there's a lot of great things. But church, I want to submit to you, everything must always be on the table before the King. Everything must be before him. He's our Lord and master of our life. And if you remember reading, there was an old story, the glass menagerie. You remember the story? If you ever read it in English class in high school, remember? It was the glass, they would hold the glass figurines and ornaments so tight that they would smash it. But when you would open it up, right, you could marvel at the beauty of the glass ornament, the glass figurines, the glass animals. And so the same thing is with our schedule and with our priorities. When you control it, what do you? You squash God's ability to be creative and to take you to places that are beyond your capability. But when you open with opening and say, God, you have my calendar, you have my finances, you have my marriage, you have my sexuality, you have my vocation, my education, I'll put all that underneath your premise and leading. God's like, all right, now I can weave my beautiful plan through your life and through your schedule and planning. And that's what I want to encourage you to do in this listening to God in your day alone, is God, everything is before you. Some of you have some really high-level responsibilities in this room. Some of you have some other high responsibilities, whether at home or maybe in retirement or with a grandchild. We all have high responsibilities, but all those have to be submitted to Jesus first and say, God, what do you want to do? And so I'm doing this in my own life. There's things I want to do. There's things I want to see financially happen this year. There's things physically I want to do. I want to be more healthier. There's things I want to do with seeing the church and our church grow and reach more people and be healthier. But all that, I'm saying, God, I'm going to take it. And this week, I'm going to submit it before you and say, what do you want to do? And so, church, I don't have any takeaways for us other than spend time with Jesus this week and ask him to do something in your life to grow you, mature you, and be willing to do that. Be willing to, if you had this plan, be willing to take that and crumple it up and throw it away and say, okay, Jesus, you said to do plan B now. Okay, I'm going to do that and see what he will do in your life. See how he wants to move and use your life as a testimony in 2023 to do something new. There's a lot of things we could plan, but the greatest thing we can plan is to spend time with Jesus. And so let's pray. And I hope that this week you and Jesus will get together and spend time and ask him to speak to you. So let's pray, church. Jesus, we come before you, and we come with open hands. And God, we lay down every plan we have. God, we lay down all the things that are good in this life, family and work and finances and education and God, just all the good things of life. God, we come before you. God, we lay down this building, this property. God, the finances. God, all the dreams that we have for our lives. God, we come before you and we say, Lord, they're yours. God, it's the breath in our lungs is because of you, Jesus. God, we have plans, but we know that man makes plans, but God gives us the directions, the first steps to take. And so, God, we come before you. And we say, speak to us alone in our times with you. Speak to us. God, may we hear you more clearly than anything over culture, over technology. God, may the distractions, the inner distractions and the outer distractions be pushed away. And Jesus, may we hear you clearly speak to us. I pray for the one here today that struggles to hear you. I pray that, God, that you would speak to them in that small, still voice, that whisper. May they know that it's you, Jesus, speaking to them. God, I pray for the one today that is in a hurry, that they would slow down and know, be still and know that you are God. May you silence the hurriedness in their life and the distractions. God, I pray for the one that's, God, that's submitted to you and that has slowed down and said, God, here you go. I pray that Jesus, you would guide them clearly in this new year of the things that you want to do in their life and in the goals and the planning and the adventures they want to go on and the endeavors. Jesus, we submit everything to you. We submit this church to you. We submit the Church of Sioux City to you. God, we submit our lives to you. God, our fortunes, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephew. We say, God, we give it to you. God, use us for your glory to tell the earth that, God, you are the King, that you're the good Father. You're the good King, and you love your children. God, use us, Jesus. We submit with open hands, open palms. We give you everything today. And so, God, be with us today. Speak to your children. We say thank you for this new year. May we run this our race this year, God, with an ever-present urgency for you and to be quick to listen. And, God, may you give us strength, give us physical strength, mental strength, give us the spiritual strength to stand firm and to run for you, Jesus, and to do all things for your glory. And, Jesus, we pray this in your strong and mighty name. Amen.